A Plague of Goodness by Wally K. Daly. With Lee Patterson as Grant D. Raskovich, an American evangelist, Carol Boyd as his wife Ellie, Peter Marinka as Jerry Lancome Jr., Donald Hewlett as the minister, Alan Cuthbertson as the brigadier, Paul Maxwell as the head of the CIA, and Chris Barry as the president. A Plague of Goodness.
This is control to 2-5. Do you read me, 2-5?
Read you loud and clear, control.
Okay, 2-5. You're on course for target area, red 0-1. Release warhead at range 50 miles. 2-5, do you read me?
I read you, control.
Well, acknowledge in the accepted fashion, 2-5. Warhead to be released at range 50 miles.
I don't think I can bring myself to actually fire the thing.
Why not, for God's sake?
Someone might get hurt.
But that's the hope. Look, 2-5, this is just a simulation exercise, right?
Right.
The warhead is actually a dummy, right?
Right. But it might hit somebody when it falls.
It's a gigantic desert waste out there, 2-5.
What about the little chickadees, the rattlesnakes? Well, not to mention the lizards. They're God's creatures, too, you know. I should know. Grant D. Raskovich told me so.
Oh, gee. We've got another of them.
Listen to them, Jerry. Just listen to them.
My people. They go with love in their hearts to spread the message, happy in their newfound joy.
They might have been happier if you'd managed to get the last line right.
I did get it right. It was word for word, as it's always been.
I'm not talking about words. I'm talking about emphasis.
Oh,
emphasis?
Come on, Jerry. Have a heart. Grant's just walked in here after uplifting 60,000 souls and relieving them of thousands of dollars, and you go back to beefing about his delivery.
Can't we go home now, Mommy? I'm bored.
Listen, Cindy.
I have to beef. Those 60,000 souls he's gloating over could have been lifted even higher and been even more generous if he got his delivery right.
Gloat? Who's gloating?
You do realize that the little dismissive shrug you slipped in at the end there, just before you got the final emphasis wrong, could have blown the whole evening.
What dismissive little shrug? You tell me when I gave a dismissive little shrug. Hallie, did you spot a dismissive little shrug?
I most certainly did not.
What's a dismissive little shrug, Mommy?
Watson.
But even that shrug paled into insignificance relative to the next booby.
Luther, say booby.
What booby?
And may your God walk home with you, remember?
What's wrong with that? That's what I always say.
You always say, and may your God walk home with
and
you.
And that's exactly what I said.
No, you didn't. You said, and may your God walk home with you.
No, I didn't, but even if I did, so what?
So what? So what? You really can't see the difference between your God and your God?
Nope. Not really, being honest.
I don't. You tell him, Ellie. Go on, you tell him.
Well, I guess Jerry means, Grant, that your God sounds sort of as though they each have a different one, you know? Well, as your God sort of indicates that even though there may be slight variations in their particular beliefs, it's still basically the same God, whether male or female, that they're all walking home with.
Thank you, Ellie. I couldn't have put it better myself. That's it, precisely.
You mean... But of course you're right. Your God. Oh, why didn't I think of that? Oh, poo-poo.
Grant.
Jeez, this is creepy.
You can say that again.
I mean, a little less violence on the streets I can handle, but not at all.
I know what you mean.
You gonna go to one of his meetings?
No, I guess not. It could be dangerous.
Dangerous?
This guy could put us cops out of a job.
Huh?
There's a rumor circulating that there hasn't been a murder in L.A. since he visited there.
Oh, that's impossible.
Well, I'm not so sure. They say he's really something.
So, who the hell is this Grant D. Raskovich, and why is he setting out to disrupt our armed forces in this fashion?
Yeah, he's a preacher, Mr. President.
I know he's a preacher. Billy's a preacher, but he doesn't talk converts into dereliction of duty. Is this guy a crook, a commie, or what? White, let's hear it for the CIA. You're supposed to know that sort of thing.
Well, Mr. President, we've been through his life with a fine-tooth comb looking for anything subversive. Nothing. Apart from a few months' work on a Hollywood backlot, there's been no excitement in his life at all. The guy is, in fact, number one, boring.
What was he doing down there?
Extra on a couple of cowboy films.
Did he have to wear a black hat or a white hat?
I believe a white one, sir.
Good. That's okay, then. But best to check these things out. It can make a difference.
But we've got to do something, Mr. President. It's spreading to affect all the services. Army, Navy, Air Force. None are safe from his message. It just takes one soldier to attend one prayer meeting, and in no time, the whole company's affected. Like apples in a barrel.
How do you mean affected? They turn brown?
They refuse to fire their weapons, sir. They'll hold them, clean them, but they won't fire them. I hear it's the same with the Navy. Apparently, they've already got at least 4 aircraft carriers that they can't be sure would use their guns if it came to the crunch.
Yeah, there are. We're equally affected, sir. Our Red 01 exercise at 1,600 hours yesterday was a total fire.
Total?
Over half the crews refused to fire in the target zone, even though they were only carrying dummy warheads.
Okay, okay, guys. Guys, you've all made your point. To summarize, it appears the cities he speaks in do have a change pattern of violence.
That's right.
Namely, none at all, which is a good thing.
In moderation, Mr. President.
Quite, Dwight. But he also affects, we hope inadvertently, those whom, for our society's good, are necessarily in control of our tools of peacekeeping, namely our purely defensive atomic weaponry, silos through the submarines, etc. Correct?
Correct.
Then he must be informed of the effect he's having and be told to change his message.
That's right.
And if he refuses, Mr. President?
Then, Dwight, he has been wearing a white hat under false pretenses and must be dealt with accordingly.
Something bothering you, Grant? Okay, spill it. What's the matter?
Well, Cub, if we're in this thing together, you get to order steak and French fries and rocks in the rye, and I've got to order salad without dressing plus diet tonic water. Now, answer me that if you can, my good friend.
I already have, Grant, 1,000 times. You're the one they're looking up to, not me. As far as they're concerned, I'm the tour manager. It doesn't matter if I'm a fat slob, but for you it does. You're Mr. Clean personified.
But, Jerry, I'm stubborn.
So what happens if they look from your steely gray hair and blue eyes down past those wonderful gleaming cap teeth of yours surrounded by that delightfully boyish smile and let their eyes wander slowly onward down over your $2,000 suit and they see it stretched tight over a paunch?
You wouldn't, Jerry. I'd be careful. More careful than I tell you.
No, you wouldn't be careful, Grant. You are a Black Forest Gatto junkie, and you know it. When you were working at the studio, you were 20 pounds overweight, remember?
I could jog again, like you made me do when all this started.
No, you couldn't. Just think what it did for Jimmy Carter's image. Then think what it would do for yours.
Yeah. I guess you got a point.
Jesus was no fool, Grant. Nowhere in the Bible will you see it written, today Jesus went for a jog.
Oh, here's Ellie now. Great, we can eat.
Hi,
oh.
I thought you disappeared.
Cindy. Over time, full of questions about the mutiny, about standing with us on the platform.
Huh. I thought she loved it. The crowds, the excitement, the cameras.
Mm-hmm, she did. Now she don't. Wants to spend the evenings with Jerry in the TV viewing room monitoring your performance.
Probably wants to see what a shrug looks like.
I did not shrug.
Well, it wouldn't harm. Providing she realizes I'll be working. How about this? She could go on stage with you and Grant at the beginning to wave hello, then one of the boys could bring her to me once it's underway.
Okay with you, Ellie?
Yeah, fine.
Then that's it.
Good.
Right. I'll go talk to Cindy and tell her how sad she's made me reject me like this.
Not in that frame of mind, Grant. After all, she does have a point. She's only 11 years old. I mean, that's younger than Amy Carter was when she started. And at least Cindy does have the good grace not to pick her nose in public.
Ellie's right. Just tell her you've heard she's upset, and from now on, she can join with me after the opening ceremony.
I've heard you're upset, Cindy. From now on, you can join with Jerry.
After the opening ceremony.
After the opening ceremony. Okay, I'll go tell her. I'll see you in the restaurant.
Don't look like that, Jerry. I know what you're thinking, but he's a lovely guy underneath.
I know that. The most charismatic out-of-work actor I've ever met, but with not two portions of brain to scratch together.
I didn't marry him for his brain.
I know that as well.
And take that pained look off your face. I have told you the partnership does not stretch to include me.
You've made that very plain very often, Ellie.
And while we're on the subject, will you kindly stop telling him he can't do it 2 days either side of a meeting?
He's like a boxer, Ellie. Gotta keep himself in trim.
And you're like a spoiled child, Jerry. Don't think I don't know what you're up to. If you can't have the cookie yourself, you're going to make damn sure the other kid doesn't either.
Okay, I take your point. Just one night either side.
No, just the night before.
Done. If you promise to smile at me occasionally.
You are impossible, Jerry. Of course I love you, but it doesn't extend to, well, you know, come on, let's go eat.
Simpson, sir. You can contact this Yankee fellow, Jerry Lankham, Jr. Tell him I'll be free to see him at 10 a.m. day after tomorrow.
Very good, sir.
And make it quite clear it's a provisional meeting, and there's no guarantee the government will give its blessing to his proposed tour.
But of course, sir.
Amazing grace, how sweet thou art.
Mr. Raskovich.
Yes?
Gentlemen?
We'd like a few words with you.
Oh, no, I'm awful sorry. I mean, something...
Get your leg open!
Oh, stop it! This is outrageous. What's going on?
Do you realize who you're dealing with here?
Now, Dr. Oak, I don't care any money. Now, there's no point in robbing me. Do you take credit cards, perhaps?
My ID, Mr. Raskovich.
CIA?
Head of section wants to talk to you.
There's a call from London, England for you, Mr. Langdon. At main reception.
Oh, fine, thank you. I'll be right, sir.
Very good, sir.
Fingers crossed, Ellie. This could be it.
It?
Tell you when I get back.
Now what?
Mr. Raskovich. I'm head of Section 3. I've got a message for you from head office.
Pentagon? The White House?
Really?
Yes.
A fellow actor suggests you tone down your performance a little.
You don't mean...
Exactly. He wants you to make it quite clear in your future meetings that your message doesn't apply to soldiers, sailors, and Air Force personnel. They must go on doing their duty. The country's defenses depend upon it.
But I can't change the business.
Mr. Raskovich, you change it. Or take the consequences.
Genuine British minister, you're kidding.
It's true. Day after tomorrow, 10 a.m., coffee and biscuits in Whitehall.
Tea, Jerry, tea. Oh, I just love the idea of touring over there. Well, why do you have to go now? Why don't you just do it by phone?
We need venues. Start the publicity ball rolling, that kind of thing.
Summer in England, wonderful.
Yes, you'd like it. I expect you to keep an eye on Grant's performance while I'm away. Don't want him veering off again like he did tonight.
Oh, come on, Jerry, let it go. You know that was a one-off event.
Let's hope so. The words worked like a charm. Any change at all and the spell would be broken and bang go all our fortunes.
Fancy that. The president himself. Can't wait to tell Cindy.
No, better talk to Jerry first. Got to get those changes made.
Raskovich, Grant D.
Yes, I'm Grant D. Raskovich. My, you are big fellas. Blocking up the corridor like that? What can I do for you both?
The boss wants to talk to you. Basement garage.
Oh, you're too late. I've already chatted to him. Head of Section 3, CIA.
No, wrong mob. We are the mafiosa.
My, that's surprisingly large for a handgun. But then again, you do have surprisingly large hands. I'll open the elevator, shall I?
What's keeping him?
Maybe Cindy's playing up.
I'll go and bail him out.
Okay. And tell Cindy it's time to switch out and settle down.
I'll do that.
Raskovich.
Yes?
The families are not happy.
The families?
The mafiosa families.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that, sir. Happiness is a God-given glow.
Shut
it off. Sorry, sir.
Now, I speak to you friendly like an uncle. It must stop.
Yep.
Poisoning our youngsters' minds.
But I wouldn't do such a thing. I don't even know any of your youngsters. Wouldn't recognize them if I saw them.
They know you. They're all good Catholic boys. Know their duty. But now they go to your meetings, hear this garbage you preach. Come home, put their guns on the table. No more shooting, they say. No more killing. No more violence.
But that's wonderful news. Absolutely wonderful. You must be thrilled.
It is not wonderful. I am not thrilled. It is disastrous. Our youngest are deserting in droves. It must, will, stop. That's the rest of it, or else...
Or else what?
Obedience to the family is the most important thing in life. You got that? Stress the joy of family life. Stress obedience to the family. And maybe our children will get the message. Maybe go back to doing the duty. And maybe... Maybe we leave you in peace.
But I can't change the message. I just told you. See, I...
Change it.
Was he pleased?
Can't find him.
Not with Cindy?
No, hasn't been in there.
So where's he gone off to?
Lord knows. I gave Cindy 5 more minutes, okay?
Oh, Jerry, you're much too soppy. Jerry.
Mm-hmm?
Grant.
Over here, please. Yes.
Where the hell have you been? I've been looking for you everywhere.
All right, honey. You look all white and shaky.
Oh, fine, fine. Just fine.
You know, sir. Yes, would you bring me a brandy, please?
Come on, Grant. You know the rules. Think, wait.
But you better make it a large brandy. No, in reflection, make it 2 large brandies.
Not for me, thanks.
Nor me.
Not both for me. And put them in 1 glass, will you? Very good, sir.
For God's sake, what is it, Grant?
I have just received a couple of messages. One from the President of the United States via the CIA.
What?
And the other from a mafia godfather.
What?
You've got to rewrite the script, Jerry. Otherwise, I think I'm a dead man.
And you've actually invited this American chappie to come and chat?
Yes, I couldn't see any harm in it. The view from above was that good free entertainment is not to be eschewed in these hard times. And it's all very provisional, just an introductory chat.
Hmm.
Is something known about this Jerry Lankin?
Is he a security risk?
A sliver of worry might be nearer the mark, David.
Care to clarify, Bridget?
We've been inadvertently picking up some cables from the CIA on this Raskovich. Internal stuff. The president, it seems, isn't overly worried. Apparently this fellow always wore a white hat in cowboy films, which makes a lot of difference in the Americans' eyes. So the CIA haven't put him fully in the picture yet, until they're absolutely sure of their ground, that is.
What's the gist of their worry?
Believe it or not, they think there's a very real danger that he could put the Americans out of the arms race.
Oh, ridiculous.
Not entirely. That's their genuine fear. And when they follow their logic through to its natural conclusion, one's terribly tempted to see that they do have a point. At the moment, they're having him and all his associates followed, trying to discover if they're actually in cahoots with anyone else.
Cahoots?
Cowboy expression. Means there may be underlying chicanery that involves A.N. Other.
And who is the A.N. Other, they suspect?
With a name like Raskovich, who would you suspect?
Musicians Union?
Well, I take your point, but slightly more international in flavor, perhaps. Raskovich.
Good God. The Russia got it.
They are indeed afraid that our Red friends may have come up with a new weapon. A weapon of such immense power as to make the doomsday bomb look like a mere bagatelle.
What on earth is this dreadful new weapon?
Goodness!
I beg your pardon?
Well, you might. Goodness, David. A plague of sheer, unadulterated goodness. And they suspect that Grant D. Raskovich and his associate, this Jerry Lancome fellow, may well be the carriers of this disease.
How disquieting.
Quite.
Will passengers for TWA Flight 624
to Miami... Jerry, one last time, please let me change it.
We'll discuss it when I get back.
I may be dead when you get back.
If only tonight's show, then with Locke at the break, followed by England.
I might get broken before I have a chance to take the break.
Look, the CIA don't go around bumping people off because they ignore messages from the president. Ignoring messages from the president is a national pastime.
You do go around bumping people off.
Tonight at the show, there's full media end-of-the-tour coverage. They wouldn't dare touch you. We know it's a great script, Grant, and we can't blow it with hasty rewrites.
Jerry, I'm frightened. Really, it's frightening.
Last call from Concord passengers to London.
Look, I have to go through now. We'll discuss changes when I get back.
Jerry, I beg you, one last time.
When I get back.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Okay, Jerry Lancome, Jr. On your own head be it.
Simply take my message and live it. And let all you meet see in your eyes the joy you achieve simply by living my message. Two final points.
Don't change it, Grant. Jerry will be furious.
I've got to, Ellie. My life may depend on it. I see lots of uniforms here tonight. Police, Air Force, GIs, all down here at the front. Don't forget, in the euphoria that wraps around you at this moment, that you do have a duty to your calling and to your country that supersedes any message I may bring about goodness and ridding your life of evil. My second point, directed more at those amongst you who have a tendency to wear gray double-breasted suits and fedoras rather than jeans and sneakers, is this. Duty and obedience to family supersedes all other duties, irrespective of what I've said. Remember that. Obey your families. And I'll be well pleased.
You've blown it, Grant. Jerry warned you. You've blown it.
At least we're still alive. And now, good night. And may your God walk home with you.
Listen to him, Ellie. It's as loud as ever. I changed Jerry's script and it still works. I changed it.
Precisely do you want to tour England, Mr. Lancome?
Well, it's a natural extension of Grant's ministry. Over the last year and a half, we've covered America fairly thoroughly, and now it's time to spread our wings.
What is the prime purpose for your tour? Fundraising, perhaps? Money for the cause?
No, that's an incidental. To keep the wheels rolling and to keep the show on the road. And we have no cause to espouse, Minister, save spreading the word.
Which is?
Goodness, perhaps, comes nearest to what we're about.
I've been hearing. And what I hear, Mr. Lancome, I find somewhat disquieting, to say the least.
Really?
Oh, yes. You see, there is a balance in all human behavior that must be carefully maintained if society as we know it is going to survive. A smile is a gift when used sparingly,
Smile all the time, one simply looks a cretin. A happy guffaw can indeed bring joy. Maniacal, endless laughter, nothing but madness. The same could apply, I believe, to unrestrained goodness.
I'm not getting your gist, Minister.
Over the last 2 days, my department has been collating reports upon the sociological effects that Grant D. Raskovich's sermons have been having in your country. The crime rate has plummeted. Of that, there's no doubt. Murder appears to be almost a thing of the past. In fact, in at least 2 major cities, there's been none at all since he preached there.
That's no bad thing, surely.
If it was just murder, Mr. Lancome, I'd grant you that would be fine. But it's much more. It's rippling down through minor violence. Rape, mugging, robbery, petty theft, that sort of thing. Indeed, we have reports that in some cities, people have stopped locking their front doors. Cars are left with their windows wide open. Handbags on the seat, and nobody takes them. A virtual plague of goodness, in fact. Your authorities are increasingly alarmed.
At the end of his speech, he said exactly what we wanted him to say, but it hasn't made any damn difference. Sailors, soldiers, police, even officers still left the meeting totally changed. They are all, for want of a better word, pacifists.
Pacifists? Maybe if we get him to say what we want him to say at the beginning of his speech rather than at the end...
I don't think it would make a great deal of difference, Mr. President, when he said what we want him to say.
Well, well, Cardinal Cross. Not very often we hear from our religious advisor at these little gatherings. Apart from the opening prayer, that is. Would you care to enlarge on your statement, Cardinal?
Certainly. I think we are seeing a satanic jest of major proportions. A jest that could finally bring this beloved country of ours to its knees.
When you say satanic, Cardinal, you mean devil-type satanic?
Exactly. I believe that Grant D. Raskovich is indeed, wittingly or unwittingly, a tool of the devil.
For that,
thank you.
Goodness, Mr. Lancome, it does have a knock-on effect that touches all areas of crime prevention and criminal detection. I.e., each criminal or possible crime requires a large number of people to service the criminal or, hopefully, prevent the crime. Whole industries have grown up over many years to attend to both needs. It is, in fact, to be honest, one of our few ongoing growth industries in the UK.
Minister, are you seriously saying that crime should be allowed to flourish out of sheer economic necessity?
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, yes. I'm afraid the removal of crime in toto and the effect this would have on the unemployment figures at a very sensitive time is simply just not on, Mr. Lancome. It's just not on.
Would you care to repeat that statement, Cardinal?
Certainly, Mr. President. The devil knows he's failed with evil. There was always the odd soul around he couldn't touch. God's gift of goodness in moderation was a Star War defense against the devil's ICBMs of sin.
I'm still with you so far, Cardinal. Keep it up.
Every time the devil managed to slip a sly one through his defenses...
God's defense.
...that's the boy, moved a cruise to catch a saint sort of thing, God simply made more average good ones to fill the gaps.
Now I'm really with you.
Good. But the devil struck on a plan brilliant in its conception. A plan prophesied and feared from the very edges of religious history.
And what would that be?
He has decided to abandon his ICBMs and go for a Star Wars weapon of his own. It comes in the form of the Antichrist, one Grant D. Raskovich, and carries a deadly fallout. Unrestrained goodness.
Perhaps just the last little bit again.
Speaking. Who?
Mother. Mother, do you have any idea at all what time it is at this end of the country?
No. It's the middle of the night.
Come on. No, take my word for it, Mama. It's pitch black with a tinge of dawn just pinking up the sky.
You what?
Why do you want to come in?
To a tour?
But you're 70 years old and your legs are gone. I know Jesus' mother joined him at the halfway mark, but I'm not Jesus' mother.
No. The 12 guys who travel with me are my roadies, my disciples, and Jerry is my manager, not John the Baptist. Mother, I'm going to hang up now and get some sleep. Yes, I love you too, but it's nearly dawn. Yes, I am sure I don't want you to join me. Bye now. Talk soon.
What brought it on this time?
Some article in the local papers looking for Jesus comparisons. Crazy. Let's hope no one else picks up on that stupid idea. Now, listen, sweet honey. We have a long day tomorrow. Hospitals, and yet more hospitals.
And this Raskovich is, I believe, the Antichrist himself.
How can you be sure?
The signs are obvious. He's even echoing the ministry of Jesus in his entourage. He travels the road with 12 men as the true Christ did. He has a man who goes ahead to prepare the path as John the Baptist did. Wouldn't surprise me if his mother didn't join him any day now, leaving the father at home to run the carpentry shop.
Now, we checked the father out. He does, in fact, run a timber wholesale business. How about the wife and kid? Where do they fit in?
Simply a confirmation that he is indeed Antichrist, rather than Savior reborn. A man of the flesh who preaches goodness by day but fornicates by night.
Fornicates? Oh, fornicates. Can we be sure of that, Cardinal?
I imagine that would be a question for the head of the CIA rather than my good self.
Dwight?
Well, apart from the two nights before one of his meetings and the two nights after, the Cardinal's hit the nail right on the head. The man is indeed rather fond of his, for want of a better word, his little lady.
Okay, Dwight. Allowing the unlikely circumstance there's any truth in the scenario, Cardinal, how come the devil wins out?
Two ways. First, he goes over the top, makes goodness that actually works, rather than God's slightly more sensible hit or miss, now I'm good, now I'm bad version. Secondly, he only affects America. Inside months, we'll be defenseless, whether we like it or not. Then he whispers in some high-ranking Russian ear, "Press the button now, Tovarish."
Is this true? I'm asking you, my chiefs of staff, is this true? Are these isolated cases you've mentioned so far going to end up leaving us defenseless?
Well, we didn't like to bother you until we were sure it wasn't just a phase, Mr. President.
It's true, damn it. And my bet is it's the commies. They're worse than the devil himself. We've got to get this bum shut up. No more speeches, right?
At the present time, he's trying to organize a tour of England.
Great. That'll do nicely. Give him all the help he needs. Get him over there pronto.
There is a slight problem, Mr. President.
What?
We believe the British minister in charge may try to block the tour.
Yeah, we'll soon see about that. Why should the red phone only be used for bad news? I'll inform number 10 that the man is a saint and should be welcomed with open arms. Let's face it, if she can't sort him out, no one can.
I can see in your scenario that the sudden upsurge in unemployment because of a lack of crime could become an economic problem.
It would be a disaster. Totally unacceptable. So, I think, Mr. Langham...
Not necessarily.
Beg your pardon?
Well, unemployment is a funny thing.
Funny?
Men and women spend a lifetime working hard to earn the right to stop working.
The work ethic is deeply ingrained in the English character, Mr. Lincoln.
But does it have to go on being so ingrained? Isn't it time, perhaps, to remove Britain's unemployment problems at a stroke?
You could do that.
I could certainly stop it being a big issue. I only have to get Grant to preach on the joy of life, on having so much free and productive time available to one.
On an average of £40 a week.
Poverty, too, is but an attitude of mind. One word from me via Grant on the possible rewards to be gained from boundless poverty. The attitude to money in the whole country could be changed overnight.
But would he be prepared to include such messages in his messages?
He is simply a mouthpiece, Minister. I decide what will and will not be included.
And you would be prepared to incorporate them?
I'm a very amenable person. I'm sure you and I could come to some satisfactory agreement.
Financial?
A little extra finance always helps to keep the wheels oiled.
How about the joys of poverty, Mr. Langham?
Very good, Minister. Very, very good. Let nobody tell me again that the British have no sense of humor.
Quite. It is very tempting, Mr. Langham, but I still feel... Sorry, would you excuse me?
Certainly.
Speaking. With me now, in fact. Really? I had a chat with the Brigadier, and it's not exactly roses all the way. Are you quite sure that would be the most sensible... No, I wasn't arguing, Mom. Just wondering.
Pan Am wished to announce the arrival of flight...
There he is now, Mama!
Where?
Over there! He's coming through the customs! Uncle Jerry! Uncle Jerry!
It was strange, Ellie. In spite of all my arguments to the contrary, he was about to refuse the application. And the phone rings, he takes a call. Suddenly it's the red carpet treatment.
So where do we go?
The sooner the better, according to him. With the one condition, we allow them to choose the venues, which is no problem. Great help, in fact.
So where's the first stop going to be?
Someplace called Glasgow. Oh. There's a soccer stadium there. They're going to make free for us on a Friday night.
Sounds real friendly.
He said it should be a good test of the strength of our message.
Mom, I've run out of dime.
Oh, Cindy.
Here, off you go, Cindy.
Gee, thanks, Uncle Jerry.
Follow her, Jerry.
I know. I'm buying peace and quiet so you can tell me how the last show went.
Fine. Just fine.
Okay, Ellie. Shoot. He goofed it?
Changed a couple of lines. Nothing very much.
How can you say nothing very much? The whole piece is a work of art. Immutable. You can't change the Sermon on the Mount and expect it to still make the same impact. Change "ask and it shall be given to you" to "ask and you're bound to get it." The throng will leave the mountain in droves. If "seek and you shall find" becomes "look for it and you'll probably find it," they're not even going to stay for the free fish supper.
It's madness, Ellie. He'll have blown the whole evening.
But he didn't.
Didn't?
Nope. They cheered even louder, and the collection was the biggest yet.
Did he?
Maybe better if he had blown it. Then today's incident might never have happened.
Incident? What incident? Tell me.
He cured somebody.
He what?
He cured somebody. We were off visiting the hospital. There's this kid who hadn't walked in over a year, and he's in a wheelchair in a corridor, and he says to Grant, cure me. And Grant said, I really wish I could some, but I can't. And touches him on the arm, and the kid smiles and leaps to his feet, shouting, I'm cured.
Oh, little bastard, have been faking to dodge school.
Yeah, my thought exactly. Trouble is, coming on top of what Grant's mother said the previous night.
Which was?
Well, words to the effect that he was Jesus, reborn. The boys are the disciples, and you're John the Baptist.
Oh, God, that's all we need. I felt for weeks now that he started losing track of the fact that we're just a money-making machine. Almost seems he actually believes in this character we've created, that he really is some kind of savior boy.
Maybe he is.
No, he's not, Ellie. He's just a two-bit actor chosen from thousands I auditioned and honed to the point where he was worthy of my script. Not his script, my script. If he gets in the way of my ambitions to make enough money to buy out the studios, I'll personally rip the caps I paid for off his ugly teeth.
Is it really that important to you?
Yes, it is. More important than anything in my life. I'm going to show those sons of bitches how wrong they were not to make the film of this script we're performing. When they told me they weren't going to make it, I just couldn't believe it. I'd written good scripts, bad scripts, medium scripts, but this one I knew was the winner of all time. Keep Ben-Hur. Keep the Ten Commandments. This was the one. What a story. Just one guy with a message walking out into those mean city streets and single-handedly changing the whole face of American society. A modern-day Jesus. A Jesus for now. But not a Jesus for the Christians or for the Jews, but a Jesus for everybody. The way he wanted it to be. A man who encompassed every faith up to and including those who had no faith at all. A man who would be colorblind to his very soul. Who would touch all simply by the look he carried in his eyes. And I knew I would have to write the messages he was to deliver so well that they would actually convince. And I did. Those messages, Ellie, were brilliant. The best writing I've ever done. When I finished the last of them, I cried. I let them see the finished script a week later. 2 days after that, they tell me, your film isn't going to be made.
But why, Jerry?
Oh, they said Jesus' pictures were burned out. Besides which, the money said it was a bad year for God. If I'd asked first, they said, they'd have saved me the bother. I swore I could even. I'd prove them wrong and make them pay. And sure as hell I will, Ellie. I'm going to buy out those bastards, sack every one of those bums, and make this film myself. Cindy, come on. Let's go and see Grant and get this show, my show, back on the road.
Touch me, Max.
I'm blind. Make me see.
Grant.
I can see. I can see.
I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I'm curing them all. The blind, the deaf, the lame. I'm curing them. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of this madhouse.
Let me out.
Please, let me through.
Thank you.
Please,
yeah, bless you. Please, yes. Thank you.
Grant, you're starting to lose your grip. Come down and eat.
I tell you, Jerry, it was creepy.
Come on. One kid has been kidding his doctors.
It wasn't just one kid.
It wasn't?
No. I haven't told Ellie yet. It's too bizarre. When she set off to meet you at the airport, I went to the last hospital on the list. A new nervous disorders place. Mm-hmm. Everyone I touched was cured. They all started leaping about, tra-la-la, like Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. It was a madhouse, Jerry. Somehow I think I've been infected by this thing.
How do you mean infected?
I think I've accidentally become a real savior.
Grant, take my word. Saviors are born, not made. Just remember, you're the mouth half of a very good double act setting out to make a lot of money, and that I am the words. So forget the method acting stuff, okay? And while I'm on the subject, no more ad libs, right?
I'm starting to feel I may not be able to stop myself.
Look, kid, get a grip on yourself. You're a no-good, lousy actor. When I've got the studios lock, stock, and barrel, and we get the movie of this crusade out of the way, then you can be a proper savior and start ad-libbing. But until then, stick to the script.
I'll try, Jerry. I will try. But it's difficult if you find you can actually perform miracles.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, guys. Dwight,
I've really lost track of why you felt the CIA should spend all this money to set up this charade at the phony hospital.
I'll be happy to clarify, Mr. President.
Good, Dwight. So, what was the point to having all these CIA operatives lying around in pajamas, pretending to be blind and lame and what have you, then have this guy cure them?
Well, it's quite simple, Mr. President. Right from the start, we've known that they were a team, a couple of con men in it for the money, but accidentally doing what they said they would. Spread goodness. The brains is this Jerry Lancome guy, Raskovich being simply some out-of-work actor mouthing Lancome's lines. Now, if we can convince him, Raskovich, that he really is working miracles...
But he is, Dwight. We've never collected so much back tax from people with guilty consciences in the history of the revenue.
I mean real miracles, sir. Miracles. Blind see, deaf hear, that sort of stuff.
Oh.
Our psychologist guys have concluded this will create an imbalance that could wreck their partnership and probably end the crusade.
But they're going to the UK now. Why bother? They'll be off our backs before the week's out.
There are two reasons, Mr. President. One, our personnel working over there could be affected. And two, they will be coming back.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Points. So what happens now?
Well, I'm working very closely with the head of MI5, our British counterparts. And he's going to organize a dead body or two for Raskovich to bring back to life.
Can he do that?
Sir?
Bring a body back to life?
They won't really be dead, sir.
Oh, yes. I see. Part of your plan.
Right. Then once they've landed, he's going to try to get Raskovich into a situation that will create such immense ridicule worldwide that he'll never be able to rise above it.
A bit like Jerry Ford's performance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly.
Well, that'll certainly take some topping. So what will this situation be?
Well, my MI5 contact says he's working on it, sir.
All the people, Cindy.
I'm bored.
Oh, honey. What an amazing send-off.
Sure is.
Oh, I'm starting to feel much better. That nice bunch of flowers from the mafia wishing their bon voyage helped a lot.
So, they're underway.
Yes, and in just over 3 days, they'll be here. Brilliant ploy on your part, David, to get them to give their first meeting in Glasgow, and on a Friday.
Yes, it should sort them out nicely.
Yes.
How about pity the church leaders wouldn't help us with the additional little ploy I had in mind?
Ah, all is not yet lost on that one. I suggested to the CIA that their Cardinal Cross might be the perfect emissary to come over and explain the ramifications to our own Archbishop. When he realizes how serious the matter is, perhaps he'll be more amenable.
Yes, good. Very useful. And when does your own plan start?
Already has.
Really?
Yes, went into action as soon as they set sail. My chap Jeremy, Major Tilda's youngest, who's purported to be travelling with his aged mother. Dear old Betty Bridges is playing the part of the mother. You know her?
No, can't say I do.
Nice old Betty. A bit long in the tooth now, but quite useful for this sort of shenanigans. She's going to pretend to die the day before he lands.
And does your chap Jeremy have a plan to inveigle his way into Raskovich's confidence so he can get him to perform the necessary miracle, the bringing back to life bit?
Already done. As advised, he offered to give elocution lessons free. Any time now should be underway with my father's car is a Jaguar.
Good night, and may your God walk home with you. So, how's that?
It's God, actually.
That's right, God. Thought that's what I was saying.
No, you're saying God.
God.
That's right.
Oh, good. Glad I've got it right.
No. Not right. You've got it right, but right. That's how you're saying it, when you should really be saying God.
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 Say God.
God.
Say odd.
Ah.
God.
God.
Yes, I think now you're starting to get the hang of it, Mr. Raskovich.
Tell me, Grant, Jeremy. After all, we're going to be doing this thing a long time. It's fun.
Yes.
So let's be friends.
Well, it's nice of you to fly over and visit. Always a pleasure to welcome you to Canada to exchange views, but I can't understand your sense of urgency in this matter.
This is no ordinary evangelist. He doesn't fill churches, he empties them.
Oh, surely not. No matter how the teaching of Jesus is expressed, it always boils down to into a house of God and onto your knees.
Not with him, it doesn't. In America, across all denominations, it's all out, onto the streets, being good and spreading the word. Church revenue has dropped by 80% in some cities.
Good. No, that is serious.
Catastrophic, Archbishop, catastrophic.
But what's he got against the established churches, yours and mine? We always leave room for the odd freelance to make his mark.
I believe it's all part of his overall plan to bring God himself to his knees.
No.
Yes, and the Holy Father shares my belief. Raskovich is the devil's man, I'm afraid, Archbishop. And he's succeeding in his ministry. He must be stopped.
He must, certainly must. I was actually asked by the Ministry of Defense to to assist in assessing the strength of his oratorical powers in Glasgow, which aid I refused out of hand. But I suppose it's not too late to have a change of heart on the matter.
How did they suggest you help?
By tradition, in Scotland, the Catholic element is kept apart from the Protestant element at this sort of missionary gathering.
Occasional trouble?
Open warfare.
Oh.
The ministry suggested I arrange that for this particular evening, in consultation with my opposite number in Scotland, of course, the factions should be allowed to mix freely.
Well, in the interest of assessing his preaching power, it would probably be a very useful exercise.
Quite. I'll put the arrangements in hand forthwith.
And I can now tell you, in the strictest confidence, another little plan is underway.
Oh, yeah?
CIA and MI5 working in conjunction for once.
Miracles never cease.
Apt, very apt. Their plan starts with a miracle.
Really?
A reenactment of the Lazarus legend. A body shall rise from the dead. Female, as it happens.
I've always felt that that one was a bit suspect. All too convenient. The body lying around waiting to be raised. All smacks of biblical chicanery.
Well, I can't speak for the surety on the Lazarus case, but in this instance, you'd be very right. Chicanery and a half. The dead woman who's about to walk is very much alive.
Oh, I say.
It's me, Betty. It's Jeremy, Betty. We've got to get ready. The Brigadier says the time's arrived. I'm going up to tell Grant that you've died. Betty! Betty? My God, Betty. Oh, no. She's dead. She really is dead.
Hey there, Gray Mare. My father's car is a Jaguar. How now, brown cow? Well, all sound very good to me. Only 4 days, and I'm already sounding a little like that Prince guy, Philip. Hi, Jeremy. What is it? You look terrible. What happened?
It's Betty. That is my mother. You see, she was supposed to only pretend, but she's actually... Well, you see, she is actually... Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Jeremy. You're not making any sort of
sense. My mother's... Would you come with me, sir?
Sure, lead the way, but call me Grant, huh?
She's in here.
Is this your mother?
Yes.
Gosh, she looks almost as if
she's... She is dead. I've checked her pulse, her breathing.
Are you sure? I'll double check. Yes. I'm afraid you're right. No. Hold on now. Very faint, but yes. Yes, I've finally found the right place. Starting to come through really strong now. There we are. She's just sleeping.
Grant, I swear.
Oh, you finally called me Grant. Now, don't you go worrying your head, Jeremy. She's okay now. But one thing, whatever you do, don't tell Mr. Lincoln about this. He gets upset if I get involved with anything sort of miracle-ish.
You mean she really was dead? And you brought her back to life?
Wait, now, hold on. I didn't say that, Jeremy. Let's just say that there's lots of strange things happening in this world of ours, and it seems most are happening around me at this precise moment. That's not to get Mr. Lincoln involved.
Mm. Oh, oh, now that is real good, Jerry. Bit more cream on the left shoulder, maybe?
Sure. Looking a touch pink there.
Yeah.
How's that?
Oh, wonderful.
You're looking a great color.
So are you. Grant was telling me earlier you've banned him from the dance tonight.
He thought it might be bad for the image, you know.
And? And what other reason?
He thought an early night might do him good. We're straight into the campaign tomorrow night.
And how about you?
Me?
Will you be dancing?
I'll look in, but I won't be stopping. I'm not a great one for dancing. You get to my age, you can see that if you can get a lady in your arms at all, there's much better ways of whiling away the time than dancing.
Oh, come on. Don't knock men your age. There's something about you craggy ones that's got a quiet fascination all of its own.
I'll cancel the facelift immediately.
What do you do after looking in on the dancing?
Take a stroll on deck, perhaps. Look at the stars. Think about life.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Ellie, it's crazy my spoiling your last night aboard like this. I'll tell Grant he should go to the dance. And I'll keep my eye out for Cindy, okay?
No, you're right. Grant needs his rest. He sure got a busy schedule ahead. You wouldn't mind if I came and looked at the stars with you, would you?
No, I wouldn't mind at all.
Mommy, Mommy, Mommy! I want some more money for an ice cream.
But I had just bought you one.
I know. I ate it too quickly so I could get back into the water. Then I threw up in the pool. So now everybody's eating my ice cream except me.
Cindy!
Come on, Cindy. I'll get you an ice cream.
Hello? Yes, sir. Children's reporting. Something rather bizarre happened. We didn't get the chance to pretend he brought Betty back to life. He actually did. He brought her back to life. No, sir. Not a drop. Yes, sir. Back to life. And that's not the only thing, sir. He wants it kept from Mr. Lancome. That's right. It appears the split you're trying to engineer between them is already well underway and could get even wider. The wife's been thrown into Mr. Lancome's company a great deal. And if looks are anything to go by, she appears somewhat besotted. I think the last ball tonight... Ball, sir. You know, ship's dance. Yes. Well, I think that could set the seal on their relationship.
Very good, sir.
It's wonderful finally holding you in my arms, Ellie.
No, thank you, Jerry.
I thought I was the ongoing big bad wolf.
Well, you were. But, I've seen a different side of you this trip. Seen you relax, learn to love you a little more.
Time to go and see the stars. Ellie?
Only if we can see them from the porthole in your cabin.
Through the last dance, each beat of...
Nice of you to pop over, Dwight.
It seemed the least I could do. Besides, I just love your gentlemen's clubs. Full of old guys fast asleep.
Yes, quite. How's it looking at the colonies?
Not good, Brigadier. Mass desertions from all the forces and still spreading. The sooner we get this jerk discredited, the sooner we get back to normal.
Well, it's all in hand. Not only is he now convinced he can work miracles, but he's keeping it from his partner, which is a good sign.
They're playing right into our hands.
Exactly. Only Wasp in the jam jar is we're not terribly sure whether he can actually work miracles or not.
How do you mean?
Well, apart from Betty, the old actress, whom our chap swore was dead before Grant touched her, although he could be wrong, of course, Jeremy's no doctor, there was an old fella, nothing to do with our scheme, who quite obviously had a coronary on the gangplank.
Mm, I saw that in the video. Raskovich helped him up and he was fine.
Exactly. Another one brought back from the dead, perhaps?
Horrendous.
Precisely. We can't have people popping back from the dead. He's got to be stopped.
Agreed.
He will be. The church leaders have now declared their intention to assist.
Oh, good.
They've organized the possibility of Glasgow turning into a fiasco. And following that, they have a brilliant plan devised to ruin his credibility nationwide.
Huh?
That is, if Glasgow doesn't destroy him first.
Well, I must say, they all sound happy enough. Oh, it's good to be in England now that spring is here.
But it's summer, Daddy. It's not England. It's Scotland.
Just a poem, sweetie. Don't worry your little head about it. Well, isn't it just great to be back on dry land getting ready to take England by storm?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I can't wait to get out there and suck it to them.
How long to go?
A couple of long minutes. Great. Great. I can't wait.
Did the boys set up the hymn sheet, Sally?
Yep.
You've been real tight-lipped since we docked. You two okay?
Fine.
Me too.
I told you. You should have had an early night like I did. Feel on top of the world.
Thank my Lord. What on earth is that?
The meters are getting a little restless out there. I think it might be a goodish idea if you got underway.
It can't. The television equipment's not showed up. I have to watch Mr. Raskovich on the monitor.
If you don't get started, you'll be watching Mr. Raskovich torn to pieces.
Is it a little violent out there?
A little. There's a few hundred gone to hospital already and you haven't even started. Peebus has finally got to confront Troddy out there, and they're making up for lost time. I dread to think what'll happen when you start. Get the balance wrong, there could be a riot or two.
But why? Why all this anger?
This is Glasgow, Jimmy. You give 100,000 people a chance for a free night out and a good laugh, you're guaranteed at least 150,000 are going to turn up. Remove the sectarian barriers as well, and you're in for a field day. The police are under siege at every gate. There's thousands upon thousands who haven't managed to get in yet. But they will. So move. Make your way outside. The lions are hungry.
Look at him, Grant. Just look at him.
I've never seen anything like it. So much pain, so much anger written in every face. I'm frightened, Grant. I'm real frightened. Well, say something, damn it. And just stand there staring. Say something.
I've forgotten my lines.
Report's still coming in, sir.
Well, it is apparently incredible. He walked out onto the platform, holding his wife's hand on the one side and his daughter on the other. And stood in the spotlight, and he faced them. Raised his arms and waited for silence.
Oh, could be a long evening, Simpson. He's probably still standing with his hands up, waiting for silence even now.
Yes, sir. That's the amazing thing. Without him even speaking, they stilled.
Stilled?
Yes. A deathly hush fell, and they waited for him to speak.
I am a Glaswegian.
After the first outburst of cheering, sir, they listened to his every word as if their very lives depended upon hearing what he said. Which perhaps they truly did.
We'll do without the poetic aside, Simpson. Simply tell me what's happening now so I can pass it along to the PM.
Sorry, sir. He's been talking for over 2 hours. MI5 say he's using a totally new script. Oh, yes. And speaking in broad Glaswegian.
Glaswegian? But he's an American.
Yes, sir. But he's speaking it like a native. As if he'd spoken it all his life.
I feel your pain. It's etched in every face. That pain is now my pain. Let it come to me. I feel the stud marks on your back. Marks left from a lifetime of being stamped upon by those above, too blind to see that you have feelings. You are human. You are God's children, too. Those marks are now my marks. Your suffering is now my suffering. Let that, too, come to me. All the hurt and hopelessness that life has weighed you with is mine. The manacles that have chained you to despair and dragged you down since the day of your birth to this very moment is mine. Leave your hate, your bitterness, your cages with me, and walk home, men and women of this city, free. I, Grant D. Raskovich, declare you are slaves no longer. I have no more to say except I love each and every one of you. Good night, my brothers, my sisters, my children. Good night. And may... Good night.
They're all just walking out of the stadium in an orderly fashion. Up to 150,000 people, the police say. Many of them crying. No pushing, no jostling. If anyone stumbles, they're immediately helped up by those behind. It's the most fantastic thing that's ever happened, sir.
What the hell happened out there? There wasn't even any clapping, never mind cheering. What happened?
Don't say anything, Jerry.
Daddy? Daddy?
Let Daddy be, sweetie.
Shelly?
It's okay now. Okay. Come on, Grant. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right.
They needed me, Jerry.
Of course they needed you. So what's new?
Well, this time I knew they really needed
me. It was terrifying out there. Terrifying. How could any country let their people be so hurt and angry, Jerry?
But I wasn't frightened. Even though I'd forgotten every word of the speech, I wasn't frightened.
You what? You forgot?
Grant made it up as he went along. He spoke to them in their language. I hardly understood a word.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I say something, sir?
No, go ahead.
I mean, Mr. Raskovich.
Say what you have to say.
Never in my long life have I known what the point of it all was. Life, that is. And now, for the first time
I know. I simply know. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you.
Do you think we can go and get my ice cream now, Uncle Jerry?
No, we damn well cannot, Cindy. Your father's got some explaining to do. Grant, come on, spit it out. What the hell were you playing at out there?
There's nothing to explain, Jerry. I'm afraid your speeches are simply speeches. I won't be using them again. They're phony.
What the hell do you mean you won't be using them again? They're important. They change people. We've proved they work.
And so do TV commercials, and your messages have about the same substance.
You dare to compare my speeches to TV commercials?
It's over, Jerry. The partnership's over. From now on, I shall speak what I feel, what I see in their eyes they need me to say. I'm a people's mouthpiece now, not yours. The acting is over, Jerry. Now, it's for real.
Grant, you can't mean it. You've come so far together, made so much money together.
That's over, too, Ellie. What we collected tonight and the rest of it goes back to the people it came from.
What's this? You crazy or something? That money helped me buy the...
Oh, your money! Except what we need to keep preaching goes back to do good in the communities it came from. That's what I have decided.
You've decided? Who the hell do you think you are? You flipped, Grant. You realize that? You have flipped. You've been totally hooked by this savior business. You're playing at being...
You may be right, Jerry, but it is not of my doing. My act's been seen. I've been taken over by new management. I can perform miracles now. I didn't like to tell you both, but you must know what that means.
Sure. You flipped. Okay, Grant, enough of this madness. Tomorrow in Edinburgh, you're going back to the proper script. My script. Word for word, right? Grant, did you hear me?
I'm not going to Edinburgh tomorrow. I'm going to Belfast. While I was out there tonight, I kept hearing a voice saying, Belfast next. Belfast next. So I'm going tomorrow. Only one problem, Jerry. What's so important about Belfast?
Belfast? He was supposed to be going to Edinburgh. Who said he could go to Belfast?
Nobody. He simply upped and went. Simpson's trying to contact Langcombe now to find out what's happening. It's an unforgivable breach of our agreement.
We found Langcombe. He's with the wife and daughter in a small hotel just outside Glasgow, apparently sulking because Raskovich messed about with his script and then went off to Ireland. Some wealthy local walked up and offered him his private jet, said it was his during his stay.
And his entourage?
Still with him, recording it all for posterity.
He started at the Falls Road, apparently, slowly worked his way through the city, gathering people as he went. At the end, speaking in a perfect Ulster accent, he addressed approaching 500,000 people.
How did the armed services of the RUC react?
Well, as far as I can gather, we've no longer got any active forces out there. Or RUC, come to that, or IRA, or Sinn Féin, or any other damn faction whatsoever. It would appear he's solved the whole Irish problem in a quick morning's walk. Now he wants to meander through Merseyside and the North East, visiting dole queues and local managers.
He says he's going to organise jobs for thousands. He's a wonderful man, sir.
No, he's not, Simpson. That will be all.
Yes, sir. Shall I keep giving you updates? Would you like me to go up to Newcastle, see for myself?
No, Simpson, I would not.
This Raskovich is a menace. He's getting to everyone. He must be brought to heel.
Time to put the church's plan into action.
Immediately before this thing becomes unstoppable.
And there'll be jobs for everybody. No more dole, no more despair. All who follow me will have a job by the end of the week, if not by the end of the day. That is my promise. Every manager I've spoken to is willing to increase his workforce by at least 10%. By the end of the week, this city will not have one person who wants to work who hasn't got a job. I, Grant D. Raskovich, on my oath, declare that's the truth.
Yes. Yes, I do understand the seriousness of the situation, Minister. As I said at the onset, I'm open to discussion. And I realize he's gone too far, much too far. Of course I'll attend the meeting. Quite. Yeah, I'll be with you this afternoon, then. Yes. Sorry to hear that. Bye.
Was it another call about Daddy, Uncle Jerry?
Go downstairs and get yourself some candy, Cindy. I got to talk to your mom.
Okay. I'll come straight back and listen, right?
Play the pin table down there for a while, honey.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Serious?
Right, so he was causing so much chaos somewhere up north, they picked him up yesterday on a phony charge of vagrancy or some such. Took him to stay overnight in a prison. Well, an hour later, every prisoner, every guard, plus the governor, walked out the front gate singing, "Let my people go." And then the roadies drive him to three other nearby prisons and emptied them as well. He's running amok. He's got to be stopped, Ellie.
What are they going to do?
I don't know yet.
and I guess I'll find out this afternoon. But whatever it is, I have to persuade him to agree to it.
Gentlemen, I don't need convincing. I see the need. Just tell me what you want of me.
Brigadier?
Deliver him to us, Mr. Lancome. After having first got him to agree to take part in a nationwide television and radio broadcast the day after tomorrow.
And what is the nature of this broadcast?
In 2 days' time, it's our national festival of life, Mr. Lancome. We of the church think Mr. Raskovich should play a major role in the festivities.
I've never heard of this festival.
Oh, it's quite a new concept, Jerry. You don't mind me calling you Jerry.
No, that's fine, Cardinal.
Oh, we've been talking about it back home for some time now. The Archbishop is going to give it a walk around the ballpark for us. See how it goes.
A public holiday will be given so everyone can contemplate the joy of life itself.
And where does Grant fit in?
Well, we want him to extend his remarkable repertoire of miracles to include dance.
He's already doing that.
And we want him to guarantee that for the 24 hours of the festival, not one single person in Britain will die.
He couldn't do that. It's an impossible task. Nobody but God himself could swing that trick.
He could try with suitable conviction to play God for a little while.
And stranger things have been known to succeed, particularly with God's help.
And when he fails miserably, he's the laughing stock of the world and discredited forever. Is that your idea?
Something like that. Yes.
I don't like it.
Mr. Lancome, speaking for both the British and American governments...
That's right.
I have been authorized to offer you a sum equivalent to the stock market valuation of 51% of a certain Hollywood studio, which we believe you have some small interest in attaining. The money will be deposited in your name in a Swiss bank account. You only have to persuade Mr. Raskovich to agree to our request.
How much does that come to in cash terms?
$30 million.
I thought it might. Very well. It's a deal.
Friends, the time approaches when I sense I shall have to leave you.
Well,
even though I shall leave you, my teachings will spread through you and others who have heard and understood. My word will spread to girdle the earth. War, bloodshed, and brutality will be things of the past. Goodness will triumph over evil, and man will be at peace with his God, with himself, and with his fellow human beings. Oh, my brothers and sisters, children, I love you all dearly. But now I must go to the peace of my little garden to await the summoning.
Where are you summoned to?
I think to my death.
Where is everybody?
Simpson handed in his resignation, left to follow Raskovich, and half the secretaries followed him. It's been one of those days.
Well, at least Lancome's in the car and on his way to the site.
Is Raskovich still in the grounds of that abbey?
Yes. Suffering some sort of migraine thing, so he's moved away from the rest of his followers into a small brambly bit that he calls my little garden.
How come you know his movements so precisely?
One of our most reliable undercover boys is still with the group and radioing in every 10 minutes.
And this one's not affected by his preaching?
Well, he wears highly sophisticated sort of earmuff things when Raskovich speaks and avoids all physical contact with him.
Very sensible.
Mm.
So, Grant gets migraine, does he? Very interesting. Sign of tension, perhaps?
No. More likely caused by all the ultrasonic listening devices that we're beaming into the area.
Ah, that would explain it.
Mm.
My head. And so much. When will it end? When will it end? Soon. I'll be very soon now. Let me lay down this burden, God, please.
Grant? You there, Grant? Boy said I'd find you here.
Over here, Jerry, by the bushes.
Grant? Oh, yes, I see you. Well, how goes it? Say, you love the beard. I'll sit down and join you, okay?
Careful where you sit. There's nothing.
What a stupid place to lie, Grant. Anybody sat by you, they'd be stung.
Sorry, let me have your hand.
What?
Just give me your hand.
Like this?
Yes.
Hey. Stain's gone. Great, Grant. That's a terrific trick.
Keep it down, Jerry. I've got a terrible migraine.
Why don't you hold your own head?
Doesn't work on me. I try.
Sorry. You want an aspirin or something?
No, it's okay. It'll pass as soon as you do what you have to do.
You know?
Of course I know. I don't know what, but I know there's something. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It's to be in some hotel, Sulky.
They want you to broadcast to the nation.
Okay.
Just like that? You don't want to know why?
Doesn't matter. I'll do it.
That easy?
Harry, I've been waiting to lay down my burden for days now.
What burden? You're not carrying any burden. You're just lying there with a headache.
It's not a headache. It's migraine.
Okay, so it's a migraine. So what burden?
My spiritual burden.
Oh, that. Yeah, I reckon you're going to lay that down all right.
Good. Did you get your 51% share in the studio finally?
Yes, I got my 51%.
How much? 30 million? I figures. Okay, fill me in on the details. How are they going to make me look an idiot and bring about my humiliation?
You know about that, too?
They want to crucify me with ridicule. It's the only answer, Jerry. But they won't succeed. They won't succeed.
Stand by, everyone.
Stand by.
You're alive in 10 seconds. Start counting.
10, 9, 8.
You ready, Mr. Raskovich?
Ready.
6.
You all right,
5,
Mr. Raskovich?
4,
quiet,
3,
please.
2, 1.
Quiet, what? Please, quiet, everyone. Please. Camera one. Go and answer.
Good evening. Tomorrow, for the first time, a festival of life will be held. Tonight, Grant D. Raskovich, the American evangelist, is in the studio to explain why this public holiday has been called and what we hope to achieve from it.
Camera two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Grant D. Raskovich.
What the hell is he doing, just staring at the camera like that?
No idea. Perhaps that's the way he works.
Is that the way he works, Jenny?
He's never begun a TV show like this before.
Well, he won't help the ratings. Could be the biggest switch-off in television history.
Not with his following.
He's not saying anything. Just staring at the screen.
So I notice. Strangely unnerving, somehow.
What's the matter with Daddy? Has he gone to sleep or what?
Oh, Sandy, I won't listen.
But he's not saying anything, Mom. He's just staring.
That's why I won't listen.
Now I have seen you all. I have looked into your homes, your hospital wards, your prisons, your offices, everywhere. I can speak to each and every one of you personally. There are just over 56 million people in these beautiful islands of yours. Owing to the enormous publicity, most of you are watching and listening to me at this moment. And I want to tell you why, for reasons best known to themselves, your government and your church leaders seek to destroy me.
My God, what on earth is he getting up to now?
Heaven knows, but we shall soon find out, I'm sure.
What they intend to do is set me an impossible task. What they don't realize is that there's no such thing as an impossible task when God is holding your hand. So this is what I promise.
Camera two.
All of you who have the strength to hear and understand what I say, all of you who have the faith to believe my message, will live without any pain until the moment of my death.
He's only supposed to be offering them 24 hours. Now he's giving them the best years of his life. I told them they should have stuck to Wogan.
Wait for it. There's got to be a sting along with it. With an audience this size, Grant could go for a biggie.
At midnight tomorrow, some 30 hours from now, I shall die. But until that moment, nobody who hears me and understands me will die. From any cause, accidental or otherwise, and in dying, I will defeat your government's plan.
Oh, my God.
I will ensure that goodness, unrestrained, godlike goodness, shall live on forever and conquer evil in whatsoever form it appears.
This is disastrous. The man's going to make a national march of himself and bring the government down in the process.
Not only the government, Minister, the whole of Western civilization.
Is Daddy going to really die, Mom?
Not if I have anything to do with it, honey. Come on, get your coat. We are off to those studios.
Look, Mr. President, I'm sorry. I had no idea he was going to turn the message around.
You should have guessed quite. We're picking this up live over here. It's on every channel. He dies and the blame rubs off on me. You keep him alive at whatever cost. You got that?
Well,
he's got to stay alive, or my image is shot to hell.
Finally, I love you all. And will enjoy living with you for another day. Savor every moment. Until those who are due to go journey with me into a brighter future.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, time is passing and we're nowhere nearer to a solution. What both the Prime Minister and President are waiting to hear
is what we intend to do to ensure we don't end up with a martyr on our hands.
Yeah. Kill him ahead of time.
Afraid we don't go into that sort of thing much over here, Dwight. It's considered unsporting.
Besides, the papers always get hold of it in the end and cause a fuss.
We could, of course, pray for Guy.
There's no time for that sort of waffle, Archbishop. Our very careers are in jeopardy here. He has accused us of conniving at his downfall.
But we did connive at his downfall.
That is beside the point. What we need is a down-to-earth, earthly solution, not prayers.
You could be right. It does seem God's deserted us for the Raskovich camp temporarily.
I must say, I'm inclined to agree with you, Your Eminence. We've got to deal with this matter logically. Somebody must have a solution to the problem.
I'm having Lancome picked up at the airport. Maybe he'll have some thoughts.
Of course, it could be hype. And once people start dying, even though they've heard his message, he's blown.
They're not going to die.
Well, come along.
Yeah, it's still early days, but I'm afraid reports so far indicate people who should be dead simply aren't.
Good.
Why not put reports of deaths in the newspapers? Prove he's got it wrong, even though he's got it right.
Tried it. Proprietors wouldn't oblige. Most of them saw the TV show and appear converted.
Oh, dear.
Besides, they're afraid of losing all their readers if it's revealed that they were involved in trying to discredit him.
How about the wife?
Met him at the studios and took him back to the hotel. Thousands have gathered outside already to keep vigil. People are pouring in by train, bus, and car, waiting for him to die.
The devil must be defeated. We have to crack his defenses. Why is Raskovich behaving like this?
Well, it could be because...
Grant, why won't you talk to me? I know this thing means a lot to you, but... do you really have to die to prove a point? But think of Cindy. She needs you. She's growing up. She sat quietly next door just waiting to hear the good news. Her daddy has decided to live. We both need you. But say something, Grant. Say anything, but don't just lie there on the bed like a zombie looking up at the ceiling. Say something, damn it!
Okay, Ellie, I'll say something. I know about you and Jerry from the boat.
Why send him the tape, Brigadier?
Simply to throw him off his equilibrium a little prior to the broadcast.
You realize that may have been the trigger. Pushed him over the edge, made him go for his own death rather than what we asked.
You could well be right, Dwight, but there's no going back. It's done.
Tom?
Why do you have me picked up like this? What the hell are you guys playing at? Language, Mr. Langton. The church is pressed. I kept my part of the bargain. Now I have business in Switzerland.
Raskovich mustn't be allowed to die, Mr. Langton. How can we stop it?
That's no business of mine. I'm finished with this thing for good. It was a great last performance from Grant. Let him enjoy his exit in peace.
Make it your business, Mr. Langton.
Why should I?
Because if you don't, the American government is going to go into the entertainment industry in a big way.
Backed, I might add, by HM government.
Oh, strange you should both come to that conclusion. The Archbishop and I were only saying earlier what a good investment it would make.
We shall all buy our way into the studio you're after, Mr. Langham.
The stock would be guaranteed to go through the roof, and you'll never get your 51%.
Unless, of course, you help us. Then we'd quickly lose our interest.
As would the British government.
And the church.
Well, Mr. Langham, what do you say?
You really are a bunch of villains, aren't you? No, Mr. Langham. We're simply setting out to reestablish the status quo, which you are responsible for knocking off kilter. You, plus Mr. Raskovich, plus his wife, have succeeded in bringing the Western world to the brink of disaster.
To the brink of nuclear war, more likely.
You can take the tape with you. Don't worry, Ellie. I forgive you. It's forgotten. But don't ask me to live. Inside, I'm already dead. I'd like you to go now. I want to think a while.
Grant, I...
See you, Ellie.
Well, Mr. Langham, do you have a solution?
Well, looking at this as a former scriptwriter, living out a script in real life, as it were, what I'd be looking for at this moment is someone to top Grant's proposed scenario and convince him to rewrite the end of the story, i.e. not to die, but to keep preaching. And maybe also take his message to the Eastern Bloc, and then to China, perhaps. Redress the balance of power and save the world from the threatened nuclear holocaust you mentioned. Leave room for the sequel, as it were.
And who is this person who would have the power to make him change his view so radically, Mr. Langham?
Me.
You, Mr. Langham?
Sure, but it's going to cost you big.
How big? Exactly.
75% of the studio.
What?
Signed, sealed, and delivered into my hands before I open my mouth in Grant's presence.
How would you swing it?
I have another secret weapon. One that makes goodness look almost pallid in comparison.
And what, may I ask, is this other secret weapon?
Simple truth, Brigadier. When all else fails, when there's no scenario big enough to fit the bill, when you're really up against the wall, you turn to truth. Perhaps the most powerful, yet undervalued weapon in the world. I'm going to spell out to Grant what will happen if he does die, and what state the world will be in about 2,000 years' time, because of his death.
Brilliant. It can't fail.
It most certainly can't, Archbishop. It most certainly can't.
What do you mean we have more important things to talk about? You slept with my wife, Jerry.
The whole of Western civilization is about to crumble, and you want to talk about one act of fornication?
I'm talking about my wife, the woman I love.
Fine way you picked to prove it.
Don't keep changing the subject. You slept with her, Jerry.
Okay, let's get it out of the way. It happened. I'm sorry. She's sorry. We're both sorry. It won't happen again. Satisfied?
You mean it? It won't happen again?
I mean it. I told you it was nothing. A one-off. So we drop all this dying business, okay?
No. And don't waste your breath, Jerry. This thing has just got to be done.
Oh, yeah? Who says so? Those voices you claim keep prompting you?
No. I came out of this one all by myself.
So you die, and another Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha comes to haunt an already troubled world.
What are you talking about?
Now, surely you realize what'll happen after you die.
No. Can't say I've given much thought to it.
What do you reckon will happen? Well, after you've risen from the dead...
Hey, now, hold back there. I'm not doing no rising from the dead. When I'm gone, I'm gone. Finito. Right?
Wrong. How are you going to stop yourself?
Or just not come back. That's all.
Oh, great. There's God standing pointing at you saying, what are you doing back here? Did I send for you? No, I didn't. Back you go.
He wouldn't do that.
Oh, wouldn't he now? Particularly when you let him down so badly?
Let him down?
Sure. Haven't you realized you were put here for a specific purpose?
Now, you're losing me. First you got me rising from the dead. Now you've got me here for a specific purpose.
Okay. I'll take it slowly. When you come back from the dead, with wormholes in your cheeks...
Wormholes?
Oh, didn't I tell you? The president's furious with you. When he heard you might be coming back from the dead, he ordered you should be buried without a coffin. Said something on the lines, I'll teach that bum not to mess me around like this. He may go looking pretty, but when he comes back, I want the bastard full of wormholes.
That's creepy.
Well, look on the bright side. At least they talked him out of doing the other thing.
What other thing?
Best not talk about it. But if it comes up for discussion again in the next few hours, I'll let you know.
He wouldn't.
Wouldn't he now? When I say furious, I mean furious. So you come back, full of holes. A few days later, you go up to heaven, or wherever it is saviors go these days.
Why should I go back to heaven?
You really want to hang around with wormholes in your cheeks, people pointing at you and going, ugh. And so you go back, and the world has yet another religion to contend with.
What religion?
Raskivism.
Raskivism?
That's a boy.
Hey. That's it. It's not the... A religion named after me. Mama, be thrilled.
Is it so great, Grant? Do you think Jesus would go through it all again, knowing what's gone on in his name over the last couple of thousand years? Just think about it. Do you really want to lay the same thing on future generations that he did, through no fault of his own? To have wars fought in your name? Wars against other religions? In defense of the fact that yours was the one true religion? Is that what you want? Blood and bodies? A Belfast of your own? A Lebanon? An Iran? He had every excuse in the world, Grant. He didn't know what people were going to do in defense of his memory. You don't have that excuse. You know.
They must be paying you real well to lay this sort of weight on me, Jerry.
They are. 75% of the studios. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
You have beaten Judas hands down.
The difference is, he didn't manage to save the world from his savior. Maybe I can. What do I tell him?
I'll think about it and consult. I'm due to give one last TV message an hour before I go. By that time, I'll know. One way or the other.
There has, it would appear, been a misconception about the purpose of my mission. It has been pointed out to me, somewhat forcibly, what could be the possible outcome if I go ahead and die as promised? Ma'am, Nahum instigated by various factions defending their interpretations of my teachings to future generations. I cannot allow this to come to pass. So I must restrain myself from taking the easy way out of life's ongoing dilemma. I must, in fact, not die, as promised, but live to go on spreading my message. To clear up any remaining misunderstandings, I will now tell you the job specification that would go with the task I'm undertaking. Spiritual janitor. That's right. I'm simply here to clean up the misinterpretations that have been laid on the teachings of those true saviors who have gone before. In a nutshell, maybe it's time to stop killing in the name of peace. That's not what they intended.
Quite a speech.
Yes, certainly was.
I am not a savior, but simply God's cleaning lady. Yes, wonderful stuff. Now you can wander the world forever. Or at least until some misguided madman with a grudge does the usual.
Quite.
Still out of our hair, thank the Lord.
You could be right.
You're all right, old man. You look a bit down in the mouth. Oh, it should be roses all the way from now on.
I'm sorry to be a wet blanket. I had a bit of a rocket from the PM. She's been talking to the president, apparently. Same difficulty over there. Says I should have thought of it and got Raskovich to do something about it before he left with his reunited family.
To do something about what?
Oh, haven't you heard? No, I don't suppose the statistics have come your way yet.
What statistics, David?
Well, you remember he said in his first broadcast everybody would live until he died?
Yes.
Well, he didn't cancel the promise, and he hasn't died. And it turns out in America and in England, nobody else has died either.
Good God.
If it goes on too long, it's going to be a damn sight more difficult living with a plague of geriatrics than it was to live with a plague of goodness, even.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That man is a menace.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Maybe it's time to stop killing in the name of peace. That's not what they intended.
Lee Patterson played Grant, Carol Boyd, Ellie, and Peter Marinka, Jerry, in A Plague of Goodness by Wally K. Daly. The Brigadier, Alan Cuthbertson, the Minister, Donald Hewlett, the President, Chris Barry, Head of the CIA, Paul Maxwell, Cardinal Cross, David March, the Archbishop, Edward D'Souza. Cindy, Annabelle Lanyon, Air Force Chief, Garrard Green, bomber pilot and mafia thug, David Lerner, television producer, Ronald Herdman, Simpson, Andrew Branch, CIA operative and first cop, Sean Prendergast, second cop and waiter, John Church, Glaswegian and television announcer, Jamie Roberts, television secretary and mafia godfather, Gordon Reed. A Plague of Goodness was directed by Martin Jenkins.